and welcome to On The Box, the official TV radio show on the Geek Show Podcast Network. Yeah, that made all the sense in the world. Anyway, I am Owen. I am joined by various peoples.
No, you're not. You're here alone.
We're just the voices in your head.
We are your conscience. Not conscience.
I was going to say, you don't look like a cricket.
Can you imagine how crazy you'd have to be to have us as your conscience?
I don't remember having a conscience. Anyways.
Yes. Today, Andy will be playing the role of the little old lady on the bus.
You always offend me.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's you with the creepy weirdo things.
And after seeing what's on your hard drive, then yes.
Yes, I've never seen an elephant do that before.
That's another show.
Anyway, isn't it about time you lot introduced yourselves?
Hello, I'm Rob.
I'm Jordan.
I'm Andy.
And I'm the man with no name who's also known as Andrew.
Yes.
Quite.
Yes, anyway, how is everyone this week?
Good.
Awesome.
Quite good.
Damn.
Yes.
Damn. Well.
I don't know what to say about that last one. Thank you for that, Andrew. Derail me completely.
It's a rainy day. I had to walk here.
Yes.
I don't know what you're thinking about, Rob.
I wasn't thinking about anything.
Lies.
I was just thinking about the elephant that we saw on Andy's hard drive.
You can't get that elephant out of your head, can you?
No. It was when it was trumpeting and, you know.
Weird,
isn't it?
Weird.
Well, you'll have to watch.
Maracas should not be used like that.
You watch how you're making me laugh on this show, because when I laugh, I can't see.
Wow.
I'm laughing so much I've gone blind.
Yeah. Anyway, we've got some news for everybody today.
Do
we? Yes, we've got news
today.
Apparently,
we do have news.
So, who wants to kick us off with the news?
Somebody? I'll do it. Me. So,
you?
NBC have basically been working on a new workplace comedy sitcom, but with a twist. It's called Powerless, and it's set in the DC superhero universe.
Okay, this could be quite fun.
Yeah, apparently it's going to follow a bunch of people who work in an insurance company. And basically, you have to deal with the fact that all these superheroes are running around like these really flashy costumes and exciting lives, and they just work in an office.
Do you know what it is?
Oh, so the superheroes aren't actually in the office. I thought that's where they were going.
Actually, it's a good angle. The whole idea of an insurance company is a good angle. But this sounds like it's nicked directly from Trigun. You know the anime series and the manga series Trigun? Because
I do not.
In Trigun, you have a character called Vash the Stampede. He's called the Human Typhoon. He basically, whenever he appears in a town and trouble happens, the entire town gets leveled. Right? He's got the highest bounty ever recorded on anybody, on him. And because of all the insurance claims, an insurance company has sent two investigators out to track him down and basically stop him doing anything, because otherwise they'll go out of business because of all the claims.
Yeah, I feel like they're probably going to work in something like that.
I think that's going to happen.
It's got to be in there. I mean, if you're in the DC universe and Metropolis has just been leveled because Superman had a fight with, you know, his relatives.
Or just because Superman had to sneeze.
Yeah. You know, then, yeah, you're going to want to stop him doing anything like that in the future.
I like the idea that the superheroes are a byproduct of it. Basically,
yeah.
So the superheroes aren't taken centre stage, and it's other stuff.
Yeah, it'd be fun to see
how
normal people live in that world.
Yeah.
Well, I like it because it's...
And then you just see Superman fly past the window. Oh, look, there's Superman again.
I just wonder if it's going to be set during the film universe then, or...
See, that it'd be good if it was...
At the end of Superman, didn't the whole of Metropolis get destroyed?
Most of it, yeah.
Made out with Lois Lane on top of like a mountain of corpses.
Isn't that like the classic barbarian hero thing? Make out with a woman on top of a mountain of skulls.
Does it say it's in the office or does it just say a workplace?
I assume it's in like because the office.
I would love to see the building site of how they rebuilt that city.
Yeah, but the thing is, it might not be in Metropolis. It might be an office in New York or, you know, Star City, which we know still exists, or, Coast City where Greenland is.
No, not Coast City, because that's going to be a very depressing series finale.
Yeah, we know, but that's only if they do Reign of the Superman. Or it could be in, what's Arrow's city called?
That one's Star City.
So which one's Flash's city?
Keystone City.
Keystone City, yeah.
It's like we had this whole thing yesterday when I couldn't remember what it was.
Yeah, I know, that's why you remember it now.
Yes.
So, yeah, it could be in one of those cities. It doesn't have to be in Metropolis. See, there's the key thing.
Could be. Yeah, you never know. Chances are, right, they might just throw everyone like that and just say it's Gotham.
No, I don't think it's going to be Gotham. I honestly don't think it's going to be Gotham. Can you imagine the cost of life insurance in Gotham?
Life insurance. If it's a life insurance company, though, that it's set in.
No, it's just an insurance company, which means they probably do life insurance.
They'll do life insurance.
Having worked
in
insurance before, trust me, they'll probably do life insurance as well. The cost of life insurance in Gotham is going to be prohibitive, so they probably won't offer it. Let's put it that way.
So where do you work? Oh, you work at Arkham Asylum. I'm sorry, we can't provide you life insurance.
No. It wouldn't be you work at Arkham Asylum. It'd be, so, where do you live?
What is your residence?
You know, number one, 1632 Racine Avenue, Gotham City. I threw in an Untouchables reference there and you guys didn't see it.
No.
Who's creating this, by the way?
DC.
Not other than DC.
And it is... it's being developed by Ben Queen, who...
Cars 2?
Yeah, the writer of Cars 2 and the creator of comedy series A to Z, which was cancelled by NBC.
Which was so memorable that nobody actually remembers it.
That's, they need to get the comedy right. They can't just say
DC
universe.
This guy wrote Cars 2. And a comedy series that nobody remembers.
This won't be a comedy.
This will not be a comedy series. Sound good.
It does not bode well for.
Yeah,
this.
It does.
It's been made as a sitcom. So.
Oh, it's got it right.
Yeah, this does not bode well.
I mean, maybe they'll get some other writers on board. Hopefully, maybe. Yeah. Please don't be bad.
It's a big ask.
It is.
Shall we move on? Let us move on. Anyone else?
I'll take this one. This is a new show that's coming.
You'll take this one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Rob should take it with his mouth full of pizza.
Yes. Munch, munch, munch. Okay. So, Andy, what we got?
This is, it's called School Swap. And basically, a head teacher and...
Hang on, I thought I just made that name up, to be honest. Is that what it's actually called?
Yeah, School Swap. Like wife swap, but school swap.
I'm sure when I was explaining this to you,
all the schools meet up, they put their keys in the bowl.
Yes, I know. I'm getting worried where this is going. Senior hard drive, Andy. We know what your version of wife swap is.
Well, then.
Yes.
Basically, it's the head teacher and a few pupils from each school.
just to make it clear, right, we have not made him laugh. He has just mucked this up on his own
basically,
without our effect.
Right.
Yeah, okay, serious mode.
Right. Yeah, basically, it's the head teacher of a public school and the head teacher of a private school, and the pupils from each of the schools swap places for a week.
What about the head teachers? Do they swap places?
Yes.
Okay.
And it says that, obviously, you've got your... I mean... It's Derby where it's set.
Is it?
Yeah. Benmore School in Derby. I'm guessing this is the first episode.
Okay.
Not just a special. Where the GCSE for A to Cs are below 50%. But the private school has, basically, it's 21 grand fee to enter. And the front door is made by Christopher Wren.
Okay.
So... But it's to see whether or not private schools are worth what people pay for them.
People don't so much pay for the kind of education. It's more kind of to keep your children out of the rough schools. And also,
Not really.
Compared to the kind of people that go.
I disagree completely with what you're saying.
All right.
I've got lots of friends who've gone to private school. Trust me. There's a reason why they send them, why parents send their kids to private school. It has nothing to do with the rough element or anything like that. Number one, it is a better standard of education in private school.
No, that's true.
It's a much better standard of education in private school. That's been proven time and again. It doesn't need a TV series called School Swap to prove that. Number two, the connections you make in private school. I mean, we're talking about the All Boys Network.
Huge.
And you know how powerful that is. I mean, what is it? Most of the people in power at the highest levels of government right now went to schools like Harrow and Eton and places like that. Because private schools train you in a certain way of thinking, right? Which you don't get in normal public schools.
I mean, I know they're worth it, but it's just you got the two different things. You got the.
I didn't say it was worth it.
No. Well,
I didn't say it was worth it. I'm just saying, if you are into the whole ideology of having your child become, you know, a future leading light of the country, blah 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 blah, and living your childhood dreams and your ambitions vicariously through your children, then yes, private school is totally worth it. But if you want your children to have the freedom to be everything that they can be, then private school probably isn't worth
it.
I think,
but unfortunately, most families with money tend to live vicariously through their children.
Yeah,
no, that's true. That's true. Even though they've managed to give themselves a fair enough legacy anyway, they want to live out through their children.
Yeah, because immortality is a thing. We don't I mean, let's put it this way: if there was a drug out there that could keep you alive for another 1,000 years, right? The richest among us wouldn't bother having children.
No,
they'd just buy the drug instead.
Yeah, buy the drug, keep making money.
You say that. I really wish you hadn't given me like Dark Empire, the Star Wars story to read now, because now I can think is Emperor Palpatine being, I shall put my soul in the Jedi child.
Do you see how good it is, though? It's superb. And I don't this is one of the reasons why for episode 7, you know, I was hoping they'd go down that route, you know, down the Dark Empire route.
Yeah, like, no, I'm really sad that that isn't going to be the next Star Wars film.
A great.
We went from school swap to Star Wars.
Wow.
The head teacher is the Emperor.
What an after swap.
No, can you imagine when the public school kids open Christopher Ed's doors and walk in, so all of a sudden the Emperor the Empire March starts playing. Da, da, yes. Da, da, da,
school's
da,
anthem. Da, da. The school anthem.
Everyone's sitting there with like a grey towel over their head.
To be fair, I did go to public school. It was a wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Yes. Oh, yes. Mine was definitely a wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Mine wasn't.
Yeah, but you live in Darlington.
That's true.
And I went to the seventh best place to live.
Yeah.
Seventh happiest.
Yes.
Happiest, apparently. Yep. Not best, just happiest.
Yeah, apparently people are really happy when they're beating people up and selling drugs.
Well, the betting shop's always open.
Yeah, but that happens everywhere.
That's true.
Now I have a bad view of Coventry now.
Coventry?
So you should.
You have a bad view of Coventry?
Because now
maybe you should move more to the left, then maybe the view will be better.
See, Coventry is
try that hill over there. The view's great from over there.
I just see the hill. Exactly.
So, yeah, right. Anyway, Coventry, school swap. Yeah, so school swap is happening in Derby schools. Do we think this experiment is going to work? Do we think anything that we don't already know is going to be proven?
It'll be good to watch, because it'll be just good to see how they deliver the lessons. Yeah,
to me, this is going to be something like, has anyone been watching something like Ledetta Lady? Right, and then there was that one, and then there was one where they sent the lads to boot camp, basically the nursery stuff. But it's stuff like that. That's where he's coming from, for why it's going to be interesting to watch.
It'd be good to see, because my view, when you think private school, you think posh, you think...
Yeah.
Well, that's what private school is.
No, I mean, you think like, what's the word?
Up themselves. Like.
Upstairs.
Yeah.
Yeah, up themselves.
So it would be good
to not up themselves. No, upstairs.
Upper crust. Upper crust.
Things like that.
They're the crust on the uppers.
But we've got to see if they go in and they actually have just people.
Well played.
Like, if it just looks roughly the same, it'll be good to see.
Yeah, but it's not going to look roughly the same, is it? Because like, they've got vastly different budgets.
Well, it's true because it does change so much. That you're not just talking about the education wise and like, the training of the teachers. You've also got like equipment, anything from equipment to even the
I'm glad you mentioned equipment because private schools have a much bigger budget for equipment. Mm. They can get really high-end stuff, top-of-the-line stuff, whereas a public school can't. Basically, the facilities that they have access to are far, far superior to what you'll find in a public school. Mm. It's a really good point you've picked up on there.
But yeah, I don't think we need a whole TV show to learn that the school with more money has the better things.
No.
But the thing is, though, it still goes along the lines, right, of you can have all this money spent on you, no problem.
Yeah, right? but fish tank TV.
Yeah.
It literally is fish tank TV. That's a phrase that I just made up, I think. Basically, all it is you have a bunch of people, you know, milling around doing stuff on the screen. And every so often, you walk up to the screen and you tap it, you know, just to freak them out. But basically, you're just the outsider looking in, making
sometimes
comments.
Sometimes you forget to put the oxygen on, and that's how Game of Thrones finales happen.
Yes. But generally, I mean, it's the main reason why Gogglebox is a thing. You know, people sit around making comments about these TV shows because they forget that we've seen these TV shows over and over and over again. I mean, there was that one where they had, school kids. I mean, there's that one where they're having school kids do a Chinese education. And then there's the other one where they had school kids doing a 1940s, 50s education. You know, and then there's all the ones like Educating Essex and Educating Yorkshire. And everything's all about education and education. And think of the children. Won't someone think of the children? Well, we are thinking of the children, and the children would be fine if you just taught them properly how to actually be people.
I like the Maud Flanders reference.
Don't teach the hey.
I like the Maud Flanders reference.
Yes, exactly.
That. I do like that.
But yeah, I can't do that.
I give you credit for trying, though. So.
I did try.
At least you can say they made the effort.
Yes.
What were we talking about?
Just like the way Andy just casually closed his laptop. Yeah. Just like, yeah, I'm done with this story. Let's move on.
Yeah, just slowly close.
Anyway, moving on to Owen, what have you got for us?
Yes. The Returned is returning to Channel 4.
Hmm? Is this the dumbass American version or the really cool French version?
It's the really cool French version.
Okay, then so, this is definitely news.
Exactly, yes. So Channel 4 has confirmed that it will be returning to the UK screen soon. Second series of the Paranormal French Thriller will air apparently this autumn.
Ooh, so it's closer than you think.
Yeah. So apparently it's been something like, 2 years since the Returned started on British TV.
So will
I think so, because I think I caught it last year when it was on Netflix.
Yeah.
So it must have been a while since
it's actually still on Netflix.
So here's a question. Are there any details about what's happening in the story?
Well, I'll just get to it's set 6 months after 6 months on from the events of the first series.
Okay.
So it will see Adele about to give birth to Simon's child.
Okay.
Okay. Meanwhile, Lena and her father Jerome search desperately for Claire and Camilla.
Okay.
So
I think I'm going to have to do a full series catch up with the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And apparently they're bringing another character, but a stranger called Berg, who knows more than he claims, arrives into town.
Is he a real cool customer?
Yes.
Does he literally ride into town? Is he on a motorbike or a horse or maybe a pig?
That's just like
a donkey.
He clearly just slowly glides through the water to arrive.
True.
Skis.
All you see above the water is his head as he glides into the water, because nine-tenths of him is underneath the water. His name is Berg.
Yes. There's also going to be a new wave of resurrections as well. So
a new wave of resurrections.
Yes.
So when you say new wave of resurrections, is it going to be like the new wave in like fashion? Is everyone just suddenly going?
No, no. Berg is literally going to arrive, just riding on a tidal wave of people.
Yes. Oh, don't, because you just remind me. There's a manga series I'm reading right now called Apocalypse No Tarida, and it is a zombie apocalypse thing. But it's really, really twisted and dark in a way that The Walking Dead isn't, because what you have all these zombies, but then you have these creatures who aren't zombies and aren't human. They're somewhere in between and also neither. And they control the zombie apocalypse. Mm. And you have this situation where they can basically take the zombies and get the zombies to basically band together to create giant hands and giant zombies and, you know, and all sorts of things like that. And not only that, they have the power to control the flesh of the zombies so that they can actually merge them together as well. It's really twisted. So, yeah,
Japan could happen.
Japan be weird. But we'll be talking more about that at some point in the future. Anyway, Japan be weird. But, yeah, Berg.
Yes. There's not much information about him other than he's a stranger who just knows more than he claims.
There's always going to be a stranger who knows more than he claims. Why can't everyone just be a moron? like ignorant? Ignorance is power.
Yes.
Ignorance is bliss.
If you kind of want to see more of it, there is a teaser trailer available. So
yeah. But ignorance really is power. If you don't know that you can't do something, then there's a high probability that you're just going to go ahead and do it.
Oh yeah, it's like it's the more thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
I can walk through this wall if I pretend it doesn't exist.
Yeah, basically. But I mean, if you don't know you can't walk through the wall, then you're probably going to be able to walk through the wall because you don't know you can't walk through the wall. What is this thing called physics? Yeah. I'd never heard of physics. Physics tells you you can't fly. Really? I can't fly? Why am I flying right now, then?
Does Superman just, like, shovel lead chips into his mouth and that's how he gets all his powers?
Yeah, basically, he's killing brain cells.
Wow. I'd say in this article here, there's also a short footnote about the US version, which was dropped after one season.
Yeah.
As well it should be.
That's the returning.
Okay, John.
Or Liv Evanance, as I like to call it, because I'm fancy.
Yes, you are.
Now we have to move on to more sensible stuff.
Oh.
No, we're not. Moving on to Britain's Got Talent. So that's the sensible.
Yes, Britain.
Yes, Britain's Got Talent.
Really? When did that happen?
Since when?
Yeah, the last couple of seasons we've already had. What? Just the last couple of seasons, right?
I'm sorry. Didn't we have a dog win it at one point?
We've actually had two dogs win it now.
Really?
We've had two dogs win it.
The most talented thing in the country two times has been a dog. Yeah. That doesn't say much about the rest of us.
You live in Britain. Of course, the most talented thing here is a dog.
We've had Flockstars. Flockstars is a thing.
You know the
release
sheep
the sheep.
That was actually a phrase, wasn't it?
Yeah.
As well.
Are you thinking of Babe right there?
No.
There is actually a TV show called Flockstars
on ITV with Gabby Logan.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm so happy I missed that.
What was that accent?
You remember Comic Relief? She did this whole bit where she tried to be a stand-up comic.
Yes.
And she was telling the story about some Welsh guy who saw her and went, Gabby Logan! So I was doing that. It's a reference to that. See, I make references about references that nobody gets, which is why I'm so
alone. Dog, I heard you liked references, so I've got some references on your references.
You missed what I said at the end there. You missed what I said at the end there. I was making a joke, and I went, which is why I'm so alone. At the end. And you killed it, man.
I did.
You killed my joke.
Anyway.
Yes.
Britain's Got Talent is currently in trouble with Ofcom. Which is always great when Ofcom get involved.
Why is Britain Got Talent in trouble with Ofcom? Is it because they lied about Britain having any talent?
No, it was the second part of that one.
What, they lied?
Yes.
About Britain having
they
talent?
Lied.
They lied?
They lied.
About Britain having talent?
Technically. Ofcom rules viewers were misled over Jules and Matisse tightrope switch.
Who's Jules and Matisse?
Jules and Matisse are this year, well, last year's winners for Britain's Got Talent. This year's winners, even.
Okay. I'm hesitant to ask this, but are they human?
One's a dog.
Okay.
Matisse is the dog.
Okay.
That done a tightrope walk.
So he is the talent?
Yes. However, the dogs got switched prior to the final.
Is this another Pudsey thing? Where the dog has all the talent and the human is just basically there for the comic relief and to look attractive.
Yes. This one was better than Pudsey, but there was this, two dogs in
Don't get me wrong, The dog was talented for walking over a tightrope. Also,
now that you've called the dog the talent, now all I can imagine is like the end of Boogie Nights with just the dog in there going, you're a star, you're a star.
All it is...
Roll a poodle.
Well,
Heather Graham will never look at her the same way ever again, will you?
poor Andrew.
Anyway.
Yes, Ofcom have confirmed that ITV have breached Rule 214, which states clearly that broadcasters must make sure viewers are not materially misled about competition or voting.
Okay, so how many dogs were in...
There's been two dogs in this.
Okay.
Right? One that done the stuff prior to the final.
I think there were two dogs in the final, though. The one dog that was supposed to do it did most of it. And because the...
Chase is
Matisse
the
that was scared of heights. Yeah. Another dog,
and then they brought Chase in, which is a double for the
basically
dog that done the title.
They brought in a stunt dog.
Yes, basically. However, this is the weirdest bit. If the owner of the dog, Jules, didn't mention any of this on Lorraine, no one would have been none the wiser.
So the dog basically looks exactly the same.
Okay, hang on. So basically, she had a dog who did a tightrope walk, but was afraid of heights, so couldn't do the tightrope walk in the finals.
So brought in a stunt dog, which could do the tightrope walk.
The tightrope walk wasn't the act.
It was.
The dog, no, I mean, it wasn't the act.
Oh, no, it wasn't the act.
Just did.
Yeah.
It was, the dog was smart. It was like, it like opened doors. It did everything.
Okay, I get that, but the dog was smart. But at one point,
dog was scared of heights.
This dog was scared of heights, right? Doing a tightrope walk.
Another dog did that.
So another, okay, look. Yeah. Then that for me is an automatic fail.
Yeah.
Okay. If your dog can't, no, if you know your dog is afraid of heights, don't put a goddamn tightrope in the bloody act. It's, you're the owner. You're the human. I'm sorry.
Ofcom aren't shouting at ITV, right, about the switch of the dogs. Ofcom are going mad with ITV because they materially misled viewers about the voting.
Mm. Yeah, but they also say that they might strip the act
from the
crown.
Of the crown.
Your talent.
If it's the person that I'm thinking of, I don't want to see a stripped version of them.
But, well. The thing is, though, there's two ways you can look at it, because the act is called Jules and Matisse, which means...
Yeah, but
it has to be Matisse.
But it wasn't made clear that it was those two in that, though.
No.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
If you have an act called Jules and Matisse, then what you expect to see or what you pay for is Jules and Matisse. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Now,
like I said,
if you know your dog cannot handle a certain thing, then why the hell have you got that thing as part of your act? That is the question to ask the human, not the dog.
Well, though, this act, I mean, that bit would have been the one that won.
Not only
that.
That
was the most impressive thing.
Not only that, I've got a question, the number of, and I'm sorry to put it like this, but you really, really are. Just how many dumbasses out there, because you are, voted for a bloody dog to be the most talented thing in the UK? Do you realise you've just made the UK once again the laughing stock of the entire planet by voting a bloody dog?
I think it's the runner up.
I don't care who the runner up is. The runner up is a loser.
No,
the runner up lost. They get nothing. They don't even get
one of the best magicians I've ever seen.
However,
yeah, I know, and that's what I'm saying. They are a loser. They lost to a dog. Do you know how humiliating that is? For him or
don't
her,
forget,
whoever
don't forget
it was.
Though, a couple of years ago, like that, right? We actually, a couple of years ago, we actually had a Hungarian dance act. Yeah. Right?
Oh, yeah,
the
when the Hungarians were the most talented people in Britain.
In Britain.
Yeah, but I mean...
Farage was right.
Hang on. The Hungarians were the most talented people in Britain, but how long had they been living in Britain? Did they just move here?
Yeah, they came over for the show.
Literally just that. Yeah. And why the hell were they allowed on the show?
They're bloody immigrants coming over, stealing our talent show competitions.
I've always said that.
No, seriously, why the hell were they allowed on the show?
It should be a five-year thing like it is with majority of football. So,
Why not have that on there? You know, you have to have been living in the UK for at least, say, a year, I'd say. Mm. A minimum of a year.
Back to this. Ofcom aren't yelling at ITV about the fact that there is the number of dogs in it and all that. Yeah, like I said, ITV at morning, that they misled viewers and not stating themselves that there is two dogs in this act.
Well, yeah.
Right, which is the bit Ofcom have said, that's rule 214.
Yeah, I reckon they should remove, basically take it back, give it to the magician guy.
Mm.
Because at the end of the day, it's cheating. Clear and simple.
He did magic a helicopter in.
Hmm.
Yeah.
He did magic it.
No, he did that
with magic that day.
The regulator added that it ended up receiving 1,175 complaints about the switch when Jules Dwyer, who is the owner of the dog, revealed during a chat show on Lorraine the day after the final.
Yeah, but this is the thing. It doesn't matter how it's come out. The fact is, it's out.
Hmm. It's out there, yeah.
And if she has... let's put it this way. If this was a professional sportsman, they would have been stripped of that title straight away.
Yeah.
Okay, same rules apply.
I can't run this way, well, so he's my younger brother.
On Britain's Got Talent, if like a dance act came out and said, I'm going to do this dance, but this bit is a bit tricky, so I'm just going to get someone else to do it for me.
Yeah, they would fail.
Yeah.
I mean, Strictly Come Dancing, they don't hire somebody who's a ringer wearing a fat suit to take over from somebody who's quite large, can't just quite handle the steps, do they?
This is the other bit as well, right? Ofcom have turned around Ofcom have acknowledged that viewers may want a seek refund or have the total of the vote donated to the full Royal Charity, Riot Charity. So which means you can phone Ofcom.
Royal Charity or Riot Charity?
Royal Charity.
Okay, because I thought you said Riot Charity,
no,
I was going to
say. Royal Variety Charity.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
That's
so the fact that you can then phone Ofcom up and say, I voted for this dog to win. And it won. Yes, I want my money back for it.
Firstly, you have to be a pretty awful person to request a refund from a charity.
No, because...
And second of all, I'm sorry, you voted for a dog to win a talent competition. You don't deserve your money back.
Mm. Yes, this is
the
true.
The thing is, though, you could vote free on an app.
Yeah.
So it's like, who would pay?
ITV also admitted that while Chase performed the tightrope without any sort of disguise or costume, the programme didn't point out that it wasn't Matisse. And accepted that most people wouldn't have been able to see the chaser's name collar.
Look, I don't care. People voted a dog to be the most talented thing. I find that highly insulting.
Mm-hmm.
I find that highly insulting.
Well,
personally, I am offended. And if I meet anybody in the street who voted for a bloody dog to be the most talented thing in the country, I'm likely to kick you.
The fact that Owen's
not
put his hand
brag
up
to
like
me,
that, kind of,
do not brag to me that you voted for a bloody dog, because I am really insulted by that.
Yeah, a real bone to pick with this one.
Yes.
Hey! Exactly.
Can I just say one thing for the defence?
There
the
is
British
no defence.
It's
there
not
is
so
no
much
defense.
About the dog.
There
it's
is,
about...
There is no goddamn defence to this. You voted a bloody dog to be the most talented thing in the UK. It's insulting to everybody who works hard in the UK to basically make their own dreams come true. Every single working person in this country who looks after their kids, everybody who gets up and goes to work, everybody who's studied, every single person in this country who has tried to make this country better for their children and for themselves and has tried to improve their lives, the fact that a bloody dog has been voted as the most talented thing in the UK makes a laughing stock of the entire country and all the people in it to the rest of the world. That is damn insulting.
Can I just say... Moving
on,
I'm not,
quickly, before everything...
I'm going to make this point if it kills me. I'm not saying that the people were right to vote for the dog. All I'm saying is, it's not so much about the dog doing what it is, it's about the owner's ability to teach the dog
There is another. Hang on. There is a show for that. It's called Crofts.
I know, but.
Called Crofts.
Can I tell you something, though, that might even anger you even more?
Yes.
It's a world thing.
Do we
really
need him more angry? Hey?
It's a world thing.
Move on quickly before this all comes out.
America's Got Talent at backflipping dogs.
And he's going full green.
Did they win?
I don't know. I didn't watch it. No. I saw the video.
No dog has won America's Got Talent. What about France's Got Talent? Has a dog won that? Don't think so. Germany's Got Talent. Does Germany have talent? Yes, it does. But I don't think a dog would win there.
A German Shepherd might, but...
No. Germany's Got Talent. Do you think a dog is going to win Germany's Got Talent?
That's no way to talk about the German women.
Moving on quickly. Rob?
That was Owen who said that once. I didn't say a word. I did not say a word there.
Moving on. Rob, quickly, your story?
No, I refuse. You can't make me. You're not my real mum.
Hey, what you don't know can't hurt you.
No, I'm pretty sure you're not my real mum.
Mummy and daddy are fighting again.
I'm pretty sure he's not my real mum. My mum has less facial hair. Didn't say my mum had no facial hair.
Yes. Moving on. Rob, your story, please.
Yes, the Avengers. Hang on, this is not the right story. This is an office workplace thing for DC Comics. No. Hannibal's Brian Fuller wants to bring back the Avengers TV series, and we are talking the Patrick McNee, John Steed, Avengers TV series. I'm not sure how this is going to work because Patrick McNee had the role. He was John Steed.
Yeah.
Whenever you think of the Avengers, the British spy thing, you think Patrick McNee.
Oh, yeah. It's so quintessentially British, the way he acts as well.
Yeah.
Still, I think if anyone can do it, Brian Fuller can, because he did that reboot of The Munsters, Mockingbird Lane.
Yeah, but the thing is,
that was just a pilot, but that was incredible.
Well, but Brian Fuller's already got his next project after Hannibal lined up. It's a TV version of Neil Gaiman's American Gods, right? But
after that's been amazing and gets cancelled after three series, oh my God, TV, what are you doing? Then he can make that, and then he can make The Avengers.
Yeah, a reboot of The Avengers. But the thing is, I don't know who you'd pick to play John Steed.
Well, he was saying Eddie Izzard.
No.
Well,
no.
I can't justify that.
If I was going to go for anybody, to be honest, I've got to say, the person, and I'm not a fan of his, but I think Jude Law might actually work.
Possibly, yeah.
If you could get Jude Law interested, he might actually work out as John Steed.
What about now?
Yeah, I could see that.
You do see more Hollywood actors and stuff now actually going into TV.
Yeah, Sherlock. Yeah. Which brings me to my point. What about Benedict Cumberbatch?
No.
He's awful. I'm sorry, okay. But I was watching Sherlock last night and I just thought, Benedict, you are so much better than this. Why don't you just mix Sherlock with Khan and then, maybe it'll be interesting.
Like but, evil Sherlock.
Yeah, but
he should be Moriarty then.
That'd be quite cool, though.
Thing is, Benedict Cumberbatch, everybody's going, oh, Sherlock is so wonderful. Oh, it's not. Such a great show. And I'm like, I've watched it and I'm like, not impressed.
Really?
I'm not.
Not really impressed.
Really?
I've seen better versions of Sherlock Holmes from Michael Caine in Without a Clue.
Yes.
Wow, that's quite the step up there. That you really kind of, wow. Okay.
Have you seen Without a Clue?
No, I must admit I haven't. But
exactly. ruined your argument though, hasn't he? Straight away.
I think they should. If they ever do remake Sherlock though, again, they should make it like a comedy, gangster type, because you can have Sherlock's homies.
No, just no, no. That's no. No, that's... See? Now my argument...
That was so lame, I am actually headbutting the mic.
it's elementary, innit, bruv?
Oh, God. Arthur Conan Doyle...
In a city Watson.
Arthur Conan Doyle would be spinning in his grave right now.
No. Arthur Conan Doyle. that's what I said.
Arthur Conan Doyle.
No. Oh, he's so young, I forget. Doyle was an insult.
All right.
In Inner City in certain inner city things. See, Andrew got it.
Sorry, it took
Andrew
him a while, though. It took him ages.
They got to go Arthur Conan Doyle.
I was saying,
you looking at Doyle?
I was saying, you really couldn't put much emphasis on the word Doyle on that bit, could you? Really? Like, to give it away to them.
His name's Arthur Conan, you Doyle. So, Sherlock Homies.
Sherlock's Homies.
Is this going to be like Boys in the Hood?
Fair enough.
The gangster version of Robin Hood. Boys in the Hood. It's not.
Careful, Rob. Andy will find that stuff right and put it on his hard drive for next week.
Robbing from the rich to sell to the poor for 20 quid.
What?
That's the urban Robin Hood, isn't it?
No. No. That was an Andy level joke there, Owen.
Oh, yes.
That, how could you say that? No, how could you say that to me? That is not an Andy level. That is.
It's easy to say.
That was Andy level. That was an Andy level joke.
You have been outvoted, Owen.
Hey, I actually write comedy, so.
You can never tell, but you write comedy.
Oh, he writes it really well. Just can't say it.
So Eddie Izzard is the choice, and I don't think he's a good choice. I think someone like Jude Law, as I said, even though I'm not a fan of Jude Law, but I think somebody kind of that caliber, of that kind of mentality, of that approach, because Steed... You know, when Patrick McNee played John Steed, he added a certain degree of, he was very urbane, he was very polite, he was, the gentleman's gentleman.
Could we give him anything?
I can't believe I've just said that.
That was interesting in itself.
That's a lot of questions.
No. I think we've just found an episode title. So, right. Anyway, John Steed, he was basically, the true gentleman.
Yes.
Next time, try and do it without laughing, just to see if we can actually get through it.
The true gentleman.
Don't you start. I can't believe I've just managed to give Andy some ammo.
Nah, I just think, though, right, just make him laugh like that, right, he'll go blind, so. See, now he's desperately trying not to laugh now. That's the coolest thing about all of it.
I like it when he stops laughing and he starts going like that.
What? And then makes us laugh, right, blinking. Then he starts laughing again.
Yeah, he becomes Blinky Bill.
Because, of course, the audience weren't able to see what you were doing there. So
yeah, he becomes Blinky Bill. He starts resembling a small grey koala wearing dungarees.
I don't think he's liking that.
No, it's because he remembers Blinky Bill and just how strange it was that we had a cartoon on TV for kids that had nothing going for it and nothing to recommend it, and we imported it from Australia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and we used to, kids used to sit there going, why am I watching this? There's nothing about it that interests me at all.
See, I think the exact same thing. First time I watched Britain's Got Talent.
That's it. That's who should play John Steed, Blinky Bill the Koala.
That'd be a very, very, very strange version of the Avengers, and I am for this. So, yeah, anyway, who do you guys think should play John Steed?
Like you said, someone like Jude Law has got kind of like that classy charm to him.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Michael Fassbender, because Michael Fassbender should be everything.
No, Michael Fassbender would be a good choice as well.
He would.
Michael Fassbender would be a great choice as well. Who else? Guys?
Part of me wants to say Hugh Grant, because he reminds me of... He's got that... Same type as Jude Law.
Hugh Grant's a bit old now, though, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, but he's still got like the same persona with Jude Law. Like he seems like the elder statesman, basically.
Yeah. Okay. But I don't think Hugh Grant. I think he's a bit too foppish.
Yeah.
Colin Firth then?
Nah, not Colin Firth. Although he did do work really well in
Kingsman, he was basically John Steed.
Yeah, so actually Colin Firth might work out.
Mm.
But who would play his sidekick? Who could play the Diana Rigg role?
Uma Thurman, obviously.
No.
I mean, she's already given us the definitive portrayal, Rob.
No. No.
No.
Actually, that's a good question, that one.
Yeah, who could play the role of Diana Rigg Ab Fab? Oh, that's a piece of news that I wanted to talk about.
Joanna Lumley.
Yes, they're making an Ab Fab movie.
Yes.
How very 90s of them. I couldn't believe it when I saw the news article and was like, they're making an absolutely fabulous movie.
What? Who asked for this?
The crazy people.
Jennifer Saunders, because she wanted more money.
But they're making everything into films now, though.
Yeah, but the thing is, Bad Education has a movie. Why?
I mean, don't get me wrong. I found the TV show, it made me laugh.
What?
But in all fairness, the in between
doesn't deserve a film. It's only two series.
In all fairness,
it's on E4.
I loved the TV series In Between Us, but that shouldn't have had two movies.
I thought Bad Education was BBC.
Yeah, it was. It was BBC Three.
Yeah. It's got
It's the same.
It's got a TV series. E4 is nothing like BBC Three. I'm sorry, but you can't put.
What are you thinking of then? If it's not
Bad Education, Bad Education. Yeah, In Between Us. Bad Education. Jack Whitehall. Right. How it's got a movie, I don't know. In the same vein as how the hell did Mrs. Brown's Boys get a bloody movie?
Don't mention that, Rob. I'd almost scrubbed that from my mind.
What could be getting a movie like in the next one or two years? That is over Jack Wright or comedy, drama, Fresh Meat.
No. But what is next? Are we going to get a movie of Are You Being Served or It Ain't Half Hot Mum?
Don't give them ideas.
And isn't there already a movie of I've Been Served?
No.
I'm sure there's an old movie.
No.
Sure there's an old movie.
I don't know. Google it. Find out.
But can I just remind people that there was a Harry Hill movie?
I know there's definitely I know there's a Harry Hill movie, but I mean, seriously, It Ain't Half Hot Mum does not have a movie.
It should never have a movie.
Allo Allo doesn't have a movie.
It is, 1977. There is an Are You Being Served movie.
Is there?
There is.
But are we talking movie as in cinema movie or movie as in TV movie?
Jack Whitehall's Bad Education is a cinema release.
Yep.
But Mrs. Brown's Boys is a cinema release. Absolutely Fabulous is a cinema release.
By the looks of it, it was just a DVD release.
Though, Rob.
It just looks like...
Hey? Whether it gets bad reviews or not, if it makes money... It's going to happen, isn't it?
Then you're basically saying to movie world, make a movie. Even if it's bad, it'll make you money. I mean, you don't want that. That's what I want. I don't care.
Think of it this way, right? The reason the old Dad Diamond movie was so good is because they had all the original cast from the TV series, right? Anything where you are going to make a movie of a TV show, you need to try and have all the original characters from it, right? Or actors, more importantly, because it creates that they already know the role nicely.
Yeah. Also, there's one other thing I want to point out. Eddie Izzard should not play the role of John Steed because he was god-awful in the Avengers movie. He was in that movie, remember?
Yes.
Was he?
Yes.
I don't... I barely remember the movie as it is. I've tried to scrub lots of it from my mind.
He was in the movie. His best role in kind of a spy hero movie type thing was when he played one of the disco boys in Mystery Men.
Yes, he did.
So, but what about the tech guy, the guy playing Ocean's 12?
Nah.
Really?
No, because in all fairness, Ocean's 12 was kind of rubbish anyway.
Yeah.
In all fairness, Ocean's 13 was terrible as well.
Right.
It was only number 11 that was worth it.
That was the slightly extended news section.
News/rant.
Yeah, news/rant, sorry. But Britain's Got Talent, voting for a dog, really, really annoyed me.
Rob, it's over now.
I know. I just want to make clear, no matter how people want to justify it, it is just an excuse.
We will be following this news story in the future.
No, we won't. Moving on to what have we been watching? So, guys, what have you been watching?
I'll take the mantle first. Mm-hmm. Well, a couple of weeks ago, one of my favourite BBC programmes came back for its final series.
Bill and Men?
No. New Tricks.
Oh.
Yes. Unfortunately, it is in its final season. That's probably because the majority of the original cast had left, bar Dennis Waterman, who has now left and will be replaced by Larry Lamb.
Okay. I did make the Ben thing as a joke, but now Larry the Lamb.
Yeah.
I only said that as a joke.
Yep. And then just Larry Lamb just comes on in and just,
yeah.
Yeah. But, last Tuesday saw the two-part series, last week saw the last episode of a two-part start that kind of gave its farewell to Dennis Waterman, in which Dennis Waterman's character, Jerry Standing, his past kind of comes back to haunt him when a body was found underneath a house that was being renovated and turns out to be someone that Jerry Standing actually worked for when he was in the police. And so the two-part episodes focus on... It goes through two different parts. It kind of goes through flashbacks where we kind of see what was happening back then, the young Jerry Standing, and how he was trying to, in a world of corruption, studio and a squad full of police, corrupt police, trying to be the only sort of non-corrupt one, the only honest one. But everyone else, including many above him, was corrupt. But
sounds like Gotham.
I suppose it is a bit, yeah, but Jerry Standing throughout New Tricks has always had that kind of air of sort of being on the edge, sort of you don't know whether he's completely honest or if he is a bit bent. And of course, by the time we see the end of Jerry Standing, completely learn what kind of police officer is. We don't have that kind of air of is he, isn't he? And I think it's a really nice send-off as well. I mean, I don't remember any of the other original characters getting two-part send-offs. So I think it worked really well. And it'll be nice to see how it progresses from there, because, of course, Dennis Waterman, being the only original actor left, I think he believed that it wasn't the same without the original cast, so without Amanda Redman, Alan Armstrong, and I forget the other one.
James Bolan,
that's it. Yeah, James Bolan. And I mean, they had a really good chemistry, and I think they kind of tried to almost copy that chemistry, but with the new characters, really give a sort of different chemistry. Also, have the chemistry, but a bit different as well. So, like Jerry Standing, when the Scottish one joined, he became like Jerry's drinking partner, and that they had a kind of good sort of relationship where they were kind of ups and downs, but they'd always be friends again before the pub.
As with any show, though, the dynamics change over time.
Yeah.
You have new cast members coming in, and old cast members leaving. So the dynamics change. And the thing is, that's how you can see the quality of the actors that are involved.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the reasons why, the old guard of the EastEnders actors and the Coronation Street actors, the reason why they've been there for so long is because they are really, really adaptable.
Yeah.
People don't realise just how adaptable these long-term soap opera actors are, because they can basically drop in and drop out within these kind of, in these fictional relationships with these other characters.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they've just met them. Sometimes, you know, they've supposedly known them for years, and they can basically do it at the drop of a hat. It's a different skill set to what you find with, film actors, especially Hollywood actors, who only have to do it for like the length of a film.
Yeah.
You know, so something like that. New Tricks isn't a soap opera, obviously,
but it's the kind of thing. It's a long running series.
Yeah, it's still a long running series.
12 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think another thing that really worked to his advantage was they didn't just change the cast overnight. You had like one character left, and then introduce someone new. You kind of eased into it, into like the new characters before you know it. Even with the,
it was more of a natural progression because I mean, the characters in New Tricks, they're supposed to be reaching retirement.
Yeah, but
they're supposed to be past retirement.
Oh, yeah, so yeah, past retirement. The whole point. Yeah. I suppose that so at some point they're just going to hang up their spurs and go, right, I've done.
And now Dennis Waterman is and has.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on a second. Doesn't Dennis Waterman sing the theme tune?
He does.
So is it just going to be like completely silent opening credits now?
Well, it's the
No, they're going to be joined by the Hoff. he's going to be their American import. You remember a Dempsey and Makepeace? It's going to be like that, but with the Hoff.
No, that's before my time.
I've gone too far back in time.
Yes.
Yes, time travel, tricky business, unpredictable.
Very much so.
Only Andrew got that reference because he's the only person who knows what I'm talking about. I can guarantee that. Right, okay. Anyway. Yes.
If you still want to catch it, I think it's every Tuesday, so for the next 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay, cool. Right, who else wants to go then? Who's next?
Should I take this one?
Yes.
Right. You enjoy taking it at the moment, don't you?
Jordan.
It's not my fault.
Well, it was. It kind of
shame.
Was.
Shame.
No.
We need a bell.
He started it by saying that he likes taking
it. That's just...
We are cutting this bit, don't worry. Cut!
You clearly stated, before you said it.
He said that he would take this.
Okay.
Engage serious mode.
We are not going to be... we're not going to... So are you... from the beginning again. So who's next?
I'll go this time.
Okay.
What I've been watching, I mentioned last week, I've had this in mind to do this week. It's called Safe Word.
Oh, that's the new poster on Channel.
Yes.
You're the special basement show.
The new what?
It's like a panel show on ITV2, and the main object of the game is they each choose a safe word relating to the picture that they see at the beginning of the show.
It's related to, like,
whoa.
Listen, it's not what you think. I thought the exact same thing when he mentioned it to me, but it's not what you think.
Right? What it is, right? So they have this safe word to say. And what they have to do, the first round is they literally let the host have full access to their social media accounts.
And not just the host either, the team, which you got comedians on as well, who know how to...
And you've got,
to,
like, Catherine Ryan, always guests on it.
She's like a man. So, hang on, what is the point of safe word?
What they have to do, they have to... they have to...
Well, Rob, you see, sometimes when two people like each other very much...
It's seeing how much the celebrities can take.
Change the social media.
Really? It's seeing how much the celebrities can take, is it?
Literally, yes.
When it gets too much, they have to yell out the safe word.
It might be a social media account. It will be of some kind. Instagram, Facebook. Yeah. And basically what they'll do, they'll post statuses. And they have to basically... They get a point for each one that they post on.
So, hang on. Who posts statuses on...
They're all together. It's like...
Yeah. So celebrities post statuses on each other's accounts.
The enemy,
so basically, it's a TV show comedians. Where they're frapping each other.
Yeah.
That is essentially it.
And basically, the more that they take before they say the safe word, is the more points they'll get.
Yeah.
So it's basically humiliate them until they say the safe word.
Yeah.
And a great thing, though, that might make you actually watch this show...
Do you have to wear leather for this?
That's your preference.
The accounts that will be hacked. This Thursday, it's the 20th of August, is Katie Price.
Okay.
So that might be my thing.
So
are they
hacking her account?
She gives them... It was Twitter last week.
Yeah.
Okay. So she gives them access to her Facebook account, Twitter account, whatever.
Yeah.
right? And they basically post on what, real things or fake things?
Fake things, fake things, yeah.
How nasty?
Hang on.
They go very far.
Don't forget, this is Katie Price, who was already fake anyway.
Lewis Spence and Tinchy Strider were on last week's.
Okay,
yeah. And they basically took a picture.
Took a picture of what?
Basically, Tinchy Strider is sitting on the lap of Lewis Spence with Vaseline on his finger.
Yeah, and?
And they
posted it onto his Instagram.
Nasty, the very nasty sentence underneath.
I'm sorry, but...
I don't get it. I think I need it explained.
I'm sorry, but unless Tinchy Strider dropped his kecks... Right, was in a passionate embrace with Lewis Spence, and that got put on Facebook. I would call that tame, unless they're basically saying, like, you know, Tinchy Strider, when he had his threesome with the Chuckle Brothers.
Don't you bring the Chuckle Brothers into this, Rob?
Oh, God. No. Oh, that's just kind of...
Yes, you went there.
No, I didn't want to. I didn't want to. And all of for some reason, my brain just went, I'm going to take you there now. And... excuse me while
I am imagining a green open field full of flowers. There is a tree in the middle. Everything is fine.
It's worth watching, though.
It is. I mean, I quite enjoy it. But
they do have a round after it where they basically roast.
Yeah. So right. And they go.
Can I just ask, when they do the roast, do you have to say their name?
We all knew the show was going to go very dark, very, very quickly.
Well, no, we didn't. But
no. We should
expect it.
As soon as you mention a show called Safe Work,
why,
me and him
Andy,
were going to go
why
to the
did
exact
you feel
same
like
place.
This was a good topic for the show, Andy?
Tell him, right, as soon as you mentioned a show called Safe Word, me and you were going to go to the same place.
No, we're not. We are
whoa.
No, we're not.
Steady there.
Well.
I mean, that...
No, we are not, Jordan.
That escalated quickly.
Aww.
I know you sometimes think that you're Katie Price, but no.
Put the whip down.
I'm better than her.
Everybody thinks that.
Is that what Dwight York said?
Well done on that. I like that one. That was good, that one.
But because Andrew can't.
I think I've killed Andy. He's having convulsions.
Well, because Andy just can't anymore. I'm going to kind of continue this because I know the program. Celebrity Ross. It's like if you've ever watched the Comedy Century,
the
Comedy
Celebrity
Central.
Roast.
Yeah, have you ever seen the have you ever
Field Tree Happy Fine Chuckle Brothers In and Out? No, oh God, I'm there.
Have you ever seen the Comedy Central Celebrity Roast? Come on.
Wow. I think we've lost Rob.
You can't say the word roast. You do realize that.
Basically, they went all out to insult the celebrities, and they actually made the news. I mean, if you look on Digital Spy...
I know the ones that you're talking about, because George Takei really ripped it out of William Shatner. I've seen these before.
Okay, yeah, but I'm not talking about this. Safe Word, it actually made the news. I think... forget what it was on Digital Spy or the Daily Mail.
If it was on Daily Mail, we ignore it.
Yeah. It was on one, two, I can't remember which one, but because Catherine Ryan, I think, called Vicky Patterson from Geordie Shore, I think it was a female Alex Reed or a thinner Alex Reed.
Yeah.
So
simply because it's Catherine Ryan, and I follow her on Twitter anyway, so
yeah,
she has stuff like that.
She's hilarious, and she... Honestly, I didn't. She looks all sweet and innocent. I didn't realize how far she would go.
Yeah, there's some examples on here, but
examples. Have you got examples on that?
Well, Sunita has slammed the show as vile.
Oh, she was on it. Yeah, she was just. It was just ridiculous. I mean,
I don't know if you've heard them, but a lot of them you can't really.
yeah, some of them are quite Yeah, I think one of the ones they put on for Louis Spence was, I think I need to fire my agent. Do you really need to audition to get on Pornhub? That was one of the ones they put up for Louis Spence. Some of them are quite,
well, you get the idea.
Yeah. They go all out to humiliate these celebrities, and I think Rob's reading up about it, and...
All I can say is I'm having a look at some of the ones that that were put on Sunita's Twitter account, right? Let me make this clear, right? I kind of agree with her. Mm-hmm. It is this isn't something that I would call interesting or entertaining. This is basically just cruel and or unusual.
I mean,
the whole idea of safe word. Who came up with it? Because that person needs to be flogged. This isn't entertainment. This is basically putting somebody under the microscope and basically tearing their life apart on national TV just because they're a celebrity.
No, they get basically, they know what the show's about when they go on it. They know what
But in all fairness, they're right. Even TV shows know there's a limit of where they should go.
But they do get to. They do. Well, they
let's
don't
put it
just
this way: when you
it.
No, when Rob, you put on someone, when you put
it.
On someone's Twitter feed, the book will also come in laminate for all the pictures of me and Simon eating pasta naked on the beach. Hashtag splatter. Hashtag triple X factor. Sorry, that's not really nice, especially when it's on her official Twitter feed.
Rob, what they do though? They don't like post it. Through it away. They have, I mean, have it there on the show. They'll type it out and go, "Do you want to say the safe word?" And if she goes no, they post it on. They don't just post it on.
Okay.
But it's like the Louis Spence one where he sat on his knee. He actually sat on his knee to do it. So they agree to do it. It's not like, oh, we'll just put these on and everybody can see them anyway.
Yeah.
They agree to put them on.
Yeah. I mean,
so it's all done.
Some of them they do pause. Do I really want on this? And after thinking, it's, yeah, go for it. But, I mean, When you are basically putting your social media in the hands of comedians, it's...
Which comedians?
Catherine Ryan, David Morgan.
One's Catherine Ryan again?
Catherine Ryan's
she's
a blonde Canadian.
The blind Canadian, okay.
Blonde Canadian, not
okay.
blind.
And what's the other one?
David Morgan.
Yeah.
Oh, he's an absolute tool anyway. I can't stand him.
David Morgan?
It's Dave Morgan, isn't it? I think he's got from one...
I can't stand him.
He's actually famous and apparently Big Brother's a bit on the side.
Yeah.
So basically he's been on nothing actually good.
Nope.
I think this is his
first... Oh, him.
Yeah, exactly. You don't like him either, do you?
No, he's a tool.
Told you. Well, I've just said that.
One of the jokes he did, one of the insults he did for... because there's another round where they have to give insults.
My God, he looks like a tool.
There's another round where the celebrities have to try and insult each other for points. If they can't think of an insult, they say the safe word to get the celebrity to get the team members in. One that Dave Morgan said was to David Hay. Dave Morgan said, "You're the only boxer or wrestler, whatever, whose name actually sounds gay." David Hay. That was his kind of insult to David Hay.
Who's this? Dave Morgan.
Yeah.
Dave Morgan, who David here would snap in half,
oh, most
eat
definitely.
Half, and then chuck the rest in the bin.
Oh, yeah.
Most definitely, yeah.
I'm sick of this show already, just like hearing you guys talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, but it's I'm putting it on the level of a dog winning Britain's Got Talent. Sorry, but safe word, you suck.
Yes.
There's your safe word. Seriously, I want to take these people on their Twitter accounts, and I want to make them, the people who came up with the show... Right, in the first place, I want their Twitter accounts and their Facebook feeds. I want all of the people who they've insulted, Sunita and all the rest of them, I want them to have access to these
but
people's Twitter accounts and see how it...
agreed to it.
Well, but it's still insulting.
Before they put it on.
It's still insulting.
It's still insulting.
Yeah, I mean...
Because you're basically...
That's kind of like me saying...
How is a person supposed
like that,
to say
right?
no? Right.
And telling you, right, if you don't want me to put this on Twitter, right, I won't put it on Twitter, right? And you go, yeah, go for it. I mean, I'd still class the insult, no matter how bad it can be.
Look, here's the key thing. They've got cameras on them, right? They've got a live audience there.
Yeah.
How are they supposed to say no? Yeah. It's not like I've got your Facebook account or your Twitter account and I'm saying, Andy, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it with a big grin on my face. You can say, you can dare me to do it because you know that I'm probably not going to do it. Hmm. But in front of a studio audience and in front of all those cameras, how is anybody supposed to go, no, you're not going to do it. Don't do it. How are they supposed to say that? Because it's supposed to be all about entertainment. And the audience is baying for blood. It's basically like a Roman gladiatorial arena. They're going kill.
I mean, you got Rick Edwards there, the show's presenter. He said, "Well, it is an extra point, you know. I mean, if you let on, it is an extra point. Or you could use your safe way. You could be that person. Just go out first row."
Yes. Anyway, enough of safe word because it will set me off again.
We don't need that again.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a good show at all. I'm sorry, but it really.
I think it's a product of its time.
I don't think it's a product of its time. I think it's a product of somebody trying to get ratings.
I think
it's a product of somebody thinking. This is a good idea.
It could be a rain grab because it is just outlandish and just ridiculous. But I think because it appeals more to the kind of current generation.
No, it doesn't. Well, no, it doesn't. Owen, I don't know what planet you're on at the moment, but it really doesn't. Most of the current generation does not want entertainment like that, which is why they're not watching that bloody dating thing that they've got, where you basically get some young adult and then you watch his date back with him and try and give him advice in front of a live studio audience.
I saw the one I'm on about.
Yeah, nobody's watching that either because nobody's interested in these sorts of shows.
Although the one in the dark was quite funny.
Okay, well,
Because Young Fiend Single, the show where single people have to watch their dates back to see just how embarrassing they were.
Exactly.
Okay. It's just for me, when I watch it seems more that they could be aimed towards the younger.
No, it's not. Because the younger generation aren't watching Safe Word.
And you know this.
What time is it on?
Okay.
What time is it on?
I don't know, maybe 10 o'clock.
Okay, so it's after the watershed.
Yep.
So younger people aren't going to be watching it. Oh, so it's aimed at...
I'm not talking about 12, 13-year-olds. I mean, I'm talking about like the demographic between 18 to 25. Like, people who watch Celebrity Juice might be interested in it.
It's people who watch Celebrity Juice.
It's still one of the most popular programs. Just because you don't like it doesn't mean people like me don't. I really enjoy Celebrity Juice, and I kind of enjoy Safe Word as well.
That's fine. You can enjoy Celebrity Juice. You can enjoy Safe Word.
And I'm just saying it's possible that it people who are sort of in my demographic would enjoy it. That's what I'm saying.
I'm saying that the majority of people, statistically, and this is actually using proper statistics, not just my opinion, statistically, the majority of people aren't going to enjoy a show like Safe Word. Celebrity Juice, yeah. People do enjoy it. And I've sat down and
there's a difference between a show called Celebrity Juice.
Safe Word is a show that sets out to be purposefully insulting and purposefully degrading. And people might watch it for one or two episodes and think, oh, this is fun. But they'll quickly go off it because there is something inherently vile that people just can't stomach. The majority of people won't be able to stomach it for more than, say, two episodes. After that, they'll basically turn off. They'll find something a lot more interesting. And they will basically say, yeah, I found it boring.
Well, I'll just have to wait and see how it progresses then.
It's not going to last.
ITV 2, 10 o'clock. Right, so it's after the watershed, yeah. Right, but like, I know where you're coming from, but there is a difference between stuff like Surf Word and Celebrity Juice.
Yeah, there's a very clear difference. I could happily sit down and watch Celebrity Juice, and I might not be a fan of the show, but that doesn't mean to say I haven't been entertained by specific episodes of Celebrity Juice.
I'm not saying the same. I'm just saying somebody who watched that might enjoy it because it's... No, never mind. Should we just move on? Because
yes, let's move on.
I'm the one getting frustrated now.
Let's move on. I can understand why people like Celebrity Juice. I can't understand why anyone would like Safe Word. Let's put it that way. Anyway, moving on. Who's next?
I have been watching nice, wholesome quiz shows.
nice, wholesome quiz shows.
Yes, so, like the BBC, the nice, cozy, safe for work BBC. I've been watching Only Connect. Love me some Only Connect. It's cool in like the way that I have no idea what's going on.
Isn't
it's like a picture of a rooster and a man.
Isn't it like crazy difficult?
It's so hard. It's like I don't get any of the things.
I honestly don't think I have ever got one of the connections at all.
Put it this way,
I think one time I got one of them, and like that's been enough to sustain me. Because like, yeah,
were you really
smart.
Proud?
I'm so smart.
I haven't got one yet.
On one of the episodes, I spent, because it was so difficult, I spent the majority of the episode going, "That's the one off the chase." Because one of them was, it was that Mark off the chase.
Was it?
And I'm going, he's off the chase.
I don't mind the chase. You know, I like the chaser. I like the whole idea of the chaser.
They kind of did an American version of the chase, didn't they?
It wasn't too bad.
One of my favorite ones is the big guy from the chase and American woman saying everything just sounds better in a British accent. And you just, well, that's because we're better educated. Just like,
yes,
boom.
But anyway, Only Connect.
Okay, and like now, even more terrifying than Only Connect is Hive Minds.
Oh God.
That looks awesome. I haven't watched it yet. It's worth a watch.
So basically, for like anyone who hasn't seen it, basically there's like a hexagon grid of letters and people have to find words in the grid. But also, as the time goes on, the letters start to disappear from the grid.
It's like a more evil version of Blockbusters.
It is. And it's so tense and terrifying.
I know.
Especially at the end when the letters start disappearing really quickly. Like, oh God, I don't know. I don't know.
It really is.
Do you think they're going, thinking too much into all the new TV shows?
No. Hivemind is actually a really good concept because it has that intensity. You know, when the letters start disappearing, you've got that intensity and you're actually sitting there. It's like, you know, when you first started watching Countdown as a kid and, you know, and when the time is running down and you have like,
and you're like actually sat there panicking as the timer goes down.
Yeah, because you're trying to find, you know, the longest word you can from all these letters. It's like that, only about, you know, 100 times more so, because you're sitting there and you're like, I need more words.
I think it's even worse now because, like, you can look at the remote and go, should I pause it? Should I pause the TV so I can work it out?
Exactly.
I figured out, though, when you think about it, though, Countdown is edited, right? When they actually work out the maps.
Yeah.
I do think that when it was either Carol Vorderman or Rachel Riley, they edit that. She must take 10 minutes to work that out.
No, because the thing is, Carol Vorderman was that good at maths.
Yeah,
she was that good. Like that.
She was that good.
Carol Vorderman was that good at maths. Yeah, Rachel Riley is actually that good at maths as well.
It's just if you actually practice mental maths, you do get that good at it.
Yeah.
I mean, maths is fairly simple. Mm. Well, to some of us.
I don't know which level of maths you've been to.
I was pretty good at maths. I was
doing
more
than GCSE maths on Countdown.
No. I'm saying because I went up to like degree level maths and that was stupid hard. I'm sitting there going, what the hell is a phase diagram, and why is it in 3D? I left one course because I didn't like phase diagrams. I ended up on another course where they had them in 3D. I'm like,
oh, wonderful. Oh, that's brilliant. Numbers just in 3D. Oh, I want that.
Like, yeah, so maths is easy, but only up to a certain point.
So were you kind of there just like in the corner of the room in fetal position? No. Why?
Yeah, I was basically going, why do I have to deal with imaginary numbers? Why do I have to imagine numbers?
Also, why have they just bought, why do they bring letters?
Because I think I can't even do my times table, so I'm completely lost here.
You kind of just. I was pretty good at Pythagoras' theorem.
I think it's more than that. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Pythagoras. A squared equals B squared plus C squared.
That's fairly easy.
We know maths, us. We're clever. We can be on Only Connect and Hive.
I couldn't tell you. When you start getting into A-level maths, I've heard this before, you get like friendly numbers, and I think it was Dave Gorman.
Friendly numbers.
I think it was Dave Gorman, actually.
You know, as they're walking by, they go, hello.
Was it?
The smile and wave.
Yeah, I think it was Dave Gorman that did it. And it was like, there's friendly numbers, and there's all these, like, get along with these, the numbers.
Anyway, Jordan, what have you been watching?
I've been watching Once Upon a Time.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Mm, series 5 starts next month, so massive catch up of all 4 series.
Have you already finished with your Friends catch up? Are you already finished marathoning Friends?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
My God, there's a man with too much time on his hands.
But there's 262 episodes of Friends.
I was already up to see... Well, I was just about finished series three.
So, is it just like at the point now where like, you close your eyes and all you can see is the Friends opening credits?
Every time I go to sleep, like, I'm just there singing to Friends.
Every time he goes to sleep, he closes his eyes to a picture of Ross.
No. No.
Is it Miss Chenandlabong?
Better than if he opens his eyes and sees a picture of us.
That's true.
Actually, Andy's got a point there.
Truman now just like breaks into the house as a friend.
No. You gotta say it right. You gotta say it right. You and Dave Flair. Schwimmer.
Anyway, moving on.
So just, they're just like, hey, do you have a place I can sleep?
Yes.
But yes, Once Upon a Time.
Yes.
I'm going to go back to this now.
Yes.
Basically, based in a place called fictional seaside town of Storybrooke, Maine.
Yeah.
Fairy tale characters have completely been wiped of all their memories. So just live in this town.
It's kind of like Amnesiac Fables.
Yes.
You know, the comic book series and the Fables. It's kind of like the Amnesiac version of that. Yeah.
But it has Snow White's in it and all the big fairy tale characters that you remember. Hansel and Gretel's in it.
Beauty and the Beast.
Belle's in it, not the Beast.
Okay. Little Red Riding Hood.
Little Red Riding Hood's in it. And the Wolf.
Okay.
Then you've also got Maleficent in there.
Okay.
And the other one.
Little Mermaid, is she in there?
No.
Didn't I read somewhere that now they like have the princesses from Frozen in there as well?
Series 5, Elsa is coming into it for the next series, which starts in about a month's time, so that's why
Wasn't Elsa just a character from The Snow Queen anyway?
Yes.
Yeah. No, but I'm like, they've actually taken the Disney version of that character.
Using the Disney version of Elsa rather than the original fairy.
Merlin's coming into it as well. Series 4, you get credit.
Merlin?
Yeah.
Yes, the best Disney princess.
No. No, but I mean, like, different Disney characters. You get an Elsa.
He does wear a dress.
Yeah.
It's got long flowing hair.
Yes.
The storyline for Elsa is she is looking for Anna. So it's basically Frozen.
Okay.
Like, in live action version. But it's one of them things. Snow White's daughter, who is the key to the entire first series, is given away when she was born in the wardrobe of... I can't remember his name now, and it's not fair. Yeah, the wardrobe is basically the safest place you can go. It's underneath in the Enchanted Forest.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but
it sounds very Narnia-ish.
There's a kind of precedent.
Does she meet a goat boy?
No, not yet.
Okay. Anyway, so Snow White's daughter.
Yeah. Is put in this wardrobe and this wardrobe magically transforms.
She got married to Prince Charming then they had a kid.
Yes.
Right, okay.
Right.
So it wasn't her and one of the dwarves.
No.
I was going to bring that up, but I thought, I'm not going to touch that.
The evil queen in Snow White tries to take over the entire Enchanted Forest area.
Did you guys ever read a Neil Gaiman short story series called Smoke and Mirrors?
Yes.
Do you remember his version of Snow White, which was superb? Because it did end with, her skin as white as snow. And basically, the idea was that the evil queen wasn't an evil queen. She was a good queen. And Snow White was the evil one because Snow White was a vampire.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
If you've never read it like that, it's well worth it.
Okay.
It was superb, just the role reversal on it. Like, this is good.
Beautiful, isn't it? The twist is beautiful. So...
It caught you off guard, that one, didn't it?
It's brilliant. When you go through it, it's brilliant.
Right, okay, so Once Upon a Time. Any good? I've been meaning to watch it for a while, but I've not got around to it.
I mean, I'm partway through series two now.
Because I tried watching that Grimm, was it?
I didn't really like that at all. This is a lighter version of Grimm, basically.
Is Grimm light, is it?
No, I said this is a lighter version
of Grimm. I said it's Grimm light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you now.
Yeah.
I like it, it's good. It takes a while to get into it, like, because it's confusing to begin with.
Yeah, it's just Grimm, I couldn't really get into it. Just the whole idea of Grimm was like, okay, yeah, I get it. I understand what you're trying to do, but I'm just kind of, yeah, no, it's not for me.
Yeah, I thought this might work, because, like, I thought Grimm was a bit too serious for its own good.
Yeah. Right, okay, so my turn then?
Yeah.
Well, it's lucky because we're at the end of the show and I haven't actually been watching anything because I haven't had the time.
Oh.
No, all I've been doing is watching reruns of Mock the Week.
Hooray for that's,
that's a good kind of default for your TV. It's like, oh, nothing else on? Mock the Week.
Yeah, it's just basically Mock the Week.
It doesn't matter though. How
and then
many...
trying to fix my PlayStation because it keeps overheating while I'm playing Dragon Age Inquisition, which is really starting to annoy me.
It does that, doesn't it? Yeah. It's Dragon Age. Oh, it's supposed to annoy you.
No, Dragon Age I'm fine with. It's my PlayStation that's annoying me.
PlayStation 3 or 4?
PlayStation 3.
Ah. Goodbye.
I don't know why it's doing it.
You can't find a way to cool it down. Maybe you should just let it go.
Oh, really? Really?
And on that note...
No.
Yes. Right. On that note, we are at the end of the show. We're going to have to love you guys and leave you. We'll release the anger... A what?
No love.
No love.
No love anymore. All the love's gone.
Yes. We'll release the anger over the next week. So we'll be back with... we're all sweetness and light. On the next
the
show.
The caring sharing on the box.
Yes. Yes. We'll be the Care Bears. We'll do our stare.
Yes, we will be happy on the box, friends.
That's always creeped me out, the Care Bear stare.
Yeah, I know.
It's always creeped me out. Is it just me that it has always creeped out?
Well, the first time they did it, I expected them to actually be staring at the enemy, like. So the stare isn't something like that. It's like a ray gun in your chest.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Anyway, enough of the Care Bears. We'll talk. Yeah. We'll see you all next week with more on the box. I've been Rob.
I've been Jordan.
I've been Owen.
I've been Andy.
And I've been Andrew.
See you all next week.